Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From a chandelier.
Oh, nope.
Chandelier.
Episode 247 of 20 Minute Tim's, the flagship podcast, and I'm joined by Stephen.
Here again.
And Melly.
Yes.
And I'm your host, Jamie, and it is another day at the coalface, fellas. We maybe didn't appreciate how good we had it these last couple of years doing this podcast, because now that Celtic are really, really, really in the shit, I'm looking back even to Ronnie Dyla's time going, boy, was that great.
At least we used to score goals back then. Used to lose quite a lot of games, but used to score goals. I actually considered very briefly, but before I thought, no, I am the consummate professional. I actually thought about doing some sort of protest tonight, just no turning up, and like just my microphone just with like some sort of black hat on it or something like that, just out of protest.
Well, I was thinking that we should just turn the 20 Minute Tim's Twitter account into just posting memes and shit now until Celtic decide to get their act together. Just Gavin Strachan drawing in his iPad memes type
really
thing.
Ancient memes. Ancient memes from like the early 2000s, like the badger thing and all that.
Aye. ICANN has cheeseburger and all these shitey memes. Just run through it, because Melly, anything at the moment is more entertaining than watching Celtic play football.
It is, and over the last week we've really got to see it. We've been speaking about it a lot recently, like how Celtic won 5 games in a row, yeah, fine, but the performances within that have been terrible, and I was just waiting for the Aberdeen game to sort of confirm what we already knew, that Neil Lennon's team, Celtic team, aren't a good team. They're only beating teams because they've got superior players. They're not beating them because they're playing better football, they've got a better style of play. And we struggled against Aberdeen, we really struggled. And then going into the Ross County game, I thought, look, it'll be fine. We beat Aberdeen, it was absolutely dreadful. But we've got Ross County, we're flat-track bullies, we'll beat them. And then as usual, as soon as we come up against a manager with a decent bit of something about him and a game plan, we falter again. It's unbelievable. I think we've dropped points in 11 games this season in the league. That is utterly pathetic. 1-3. Unbelievable from Celtic.
Can I just stop you there? Because the way you're talking, right, Stephen, correct me if I'm wrong here, the way he's talking, he's making it sound like this season's an unmitigated disaster.
What?
Yeah, I know. And let me tell you something, guys, and listeners, this season has not been an unmitigated disaster. Regardless of what you might be witnessing with your own eyes, please allow Celtic to gaslight you further. We still have a lot of work to do and have a lot of improvements to make. But it's not the unmitigated disaster that everyone makes it out to be. And we want to finish the season as strongly as possible and see where it takes us. We're looking to the next game against Ross County. They are fighting for their lives and we cannot afford to drop points. Now, this was Neil Lennon before the Ross County game, saying that the season wasn't an unmitigated disaster. He also said that they can't afford to drop points. Given that we did lose that game, Stephen, would Neil Lennon now say the season is an unmitigated disaster?
Probably not, because it would involve just ignoring what the enormous pile of evidence that was before the Ross County game, because we took all that has happened this season and just basically pretended it didn't happen. To call it not the unmitigated, not only did they say it's not an unmitigated disaster, but not the unmitigated disaster that everyone makes out to be, as in everyone. So everyone is wrong about this, to be, you know, wringing our hands about the state of this season is just simply wrong. We need to settle down. We're hysterical and all that kind of stuff. It's just becoming insulting now. We are lurching from one silliness to the next on a daily basis. We've come a long way, even since last week, where the statement we covered last week talked about how the manager has addressed each and every single game as they happened, or whatever the wording of it was. And in the very next game, he didn't do any press for the Aberdeen game. He just wasn't there. John Kennedy was. I know that's a very minor thing, but it's just one silliness to the next, just one pantomime to the next season.
I've got to say, it's got to the point, and it always has been, but if Neil Lennon Melly's having to say it's not the unmitigated disaster that everyone says it is, it really is time that maybe the Celtic manager, and this isn't personal towards Neil Lennon, but it's maybe the time the Celtic manager went, well, if everyone's saying it's an unmitigated disaster, if everyone watched us get pumped in Europe, if everyone's watched us absolutely capitulate in the league, if everyone's saying how terrible we are at defending set pieces, if everyone's questioning my team selection, if everyone is questioning the formations that we're playing, if everyone is questioning the signings, maybe everyone is right on just one of these things, maybe, for a minute.
I don't think so, mate. I don't think so. I wonder what Neil Lennon would constitute as an unmitigated disaster. Like, what else was? Would it be going out the Champions League in the first round rather than the second round? Would it be? Would we win? Would it be running no games in the Europa League rather than one? Would it be? We went out as early as possible in the League Cup. I'm struggling to see how the season could have been much worse, bar losing every game. It's unbelievable that this
relegated.
Yeah, I know the lack of, well, finishing third maybe, but the lack of self-awareness from Neil Lennon. Like, if this was any other Celtic manager in here, he'd be shouting from the rooftops that this isn't good enough for Celtic, yet when he's in here, it's absolutely fine and we're all wrong. I really fail to understand how he can't see everybody else's point of view on this.
He did say in another interview, says, I don't think it's unfair or unrealistic, but we've had mitigating circumstances throughout the campaign, some of which I can't divulge publicly. Now, I don't really want to go in and speculate on what those might or might not be, but all I will say is, if you can't say anything publicly, then don't say anything at all. Why let that wee squirrel out of the bag? There's a weakness about that statement. It's sort of playing both sides a wee bit, getting your excuse out without having to tell people what the excuse is. I think really getting beaten by bottom of the table team, the team propping up the bottom of the table in Ross County for the second time this season, by the way.
Two different managers,
Ross County. There's no excuse, there's no mitigating circumstances to that. And what I didn't like, Melly, after the game was Neil Lennon coming out and sort of distancing himself from these issues that the team have got around defending. Okay, I can understand why the manager might distance himself from players not sticking the ball in the back of the net. There were some really bad misses there and we did create a lot of chances. But this thing about, I don't know what else we can do for them as far as defending set pieces go, it's no them you're doing it for, Neil. It's you. It's your job. This is what I don't understand. He's talking like a man that's in the laughter and stuff after the post-match, you know. He's sort of speaking to me like a guy that, I'm not going to say he doesn't care, that's absurd, but it's no the players that are fighting for their own careers here, Neil. It's your career. If you can't make these players defend, and the way he talks sometimes, especially about defending set pieces, he talks like it's impossible for anyone to come in here and not concede goals for set pieces. Like, oh, I don't have out of ideas. No, but another manager would come in and stop us conceding for set pieces. Other managers in the league are not having this issue with set pieces that Neil Lennon's having.
No, and he's meant to have the better players here as well. So where does the excuse lie? He did apologise in there, but it's responsibility seems to be the hardest word rather than sorry for Neil Lennon, because again, this is his team. He puts them out in the pitch. Okay, maybe one player doesn't make a header, but Celtic have conceded 43% of their goals from set pieces this season. Nearly half their goals come from set pieces. That's a shocking statistic for any team at that level of football, never mind the champions, the best team in the country for 9 years in a row. That is Neil Lennon's job. That is the basics of being a manager, is setting up a team and organising it. And if you can't do that, I mean, Celtic are top of the league for that. Livingston have got 35% of their goals that they conceded from set plays. Celtic 43%, and he's telling us there's nothing they can do. Well, there seems to be 11 other managers in the league that do something about it, and see the ones that didn't do something about it. They were sacked and replaced, like Ross County did with Stuart Kettlewell and brought in John Hughes. It's getting to the point now where I'm at the ridiculous stage where I'm thinking, I'd rather John Hughes was in the dugout for the rest of the season than Neil Lennon. We'd be doing much better, and I'm convinced of it.
I heard you on the Reaction podcast, Melly, speaking to Ryan, and you made a really good point when you asked Ryan, if we switched managers, would Celtic have won that game? And yeah. I don't think there can be any doubt, Stephen, that the answer, for most of these matches we lose, but for yesterday, you know, John Hughes is a personality and he's on this podcast and he's been great. And I love hearing John Hughes talk about football, and his enthusiasm for the game is absolutely dynamite, right? So obviously he has his limitations as a manager, John Hughes.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right? Obviously has his limitations as a manager. But if you'd switched the managers last night and gave the team at the bottom of the league and gave John Hughes other Celtic players, a John Hughes Celtic team would have beaten a Neil Lennon Celtic team at the bottom of the table.
I think so.
I know it's all hypothetical and it's very hard to tell, but the way that Neil Lennon's Celtic team are playing at the moment, I've got no faith in the guy whatsoever.
Nah. How I would frame this is that, let's say, for example, and I know this is just as hypothetical as what you've just said, but how I would tend to frame it is that, say, for example, that Celtic had sacked Neil Lennon in December, or they were winning games in December, but so November, prior to that, they'd sacked him in November, brought in John Hughes, just as a very specific, very short-term thing, I think we would have done all right. And I want to be very clear about this. I'm not advocating for John Hughes for Celtic manager at all. What I'm saying what we needed at that point was some sort of galvanising force. And it wouldn't even have taken a great manager. It would have taken something like John Hughes. And I know people might be listening to this thing. They're talking about Yogi managing Celtic. My point is, what we needed to do at the time was remove the thing that wasn't working and put anyone in there to just inject a fresh idea, something. And what would have happened was John Hughes might not have won the league. I'm not going to go as far to say as that, but it might have got better. It might have given Celtic a bit of time to put a plan in place, and he would have been thanked and gone on to manage, I don't know, Hibs or whatever. I'm not saying it should have happened, but I can see an alternative universe, an alternate universe version of this season where John Hughes or anybody like that came in, galvanised the team a wee bit, get more enthusiasm into the team, and it might have looked a little bit better than it does just now.
For a recent podcast, myself and Tom were looking back on the Celtic Inter Milan game under Ronnie Dyla, and watching that game last week, it was just, the contrast was stark right now. Now, Ronnie Dyla's second season was absolutely abysmal, one of the worst I've watched until this season. But watching that game under Ronnie Dyla, Celtic went up against Inter Milan and they had a complete and utter faith in what they were doing. They were pressing Inter Milan. They knew exactly what their jobs were. And at the end of the day, they just didn't have enough quality to beat them. They were honest. They pressed. They were intense. They'd done everything. But that final pass, that final ball just wasn't there because the players weren't good enough. And see if I could see that with Celtic right now, I would probably be a wee bit happier. But watching Neil Lennon's team, there's no style, there's no identity. I don't see what they're doing at all. We've just got good players all trying to play in all these positions. When you watch that Ross County game, there was so many times in the game where you'd have two fullbacks on either side, just around that line of the 18-yard box. Inside them, you'd have Edward, McGregor, Christie, Rogic, all just condensing this space in the middle. John Hughes came out before the game and just explained his exact tactics tonight, where we're not going to press Celtic high because we'll get caught. We're going to sit in and condense that space. He told everybody what he was going to do with the weakest team in the league, and he was still able to go out and do it. Celtic had no idea how to break them down. Again, it was just, we'll change like for like and see what we can do. But there's no structure, no style to Celtic. It's horrible to watch. And what that Ronnie Dyla team I'm talking about didn't really go on to do much, but you could see if he had got better players, it would have worked. Right now, we've got good players and no system, whereas back then we had a system without the good players, and it's painful to watch because even the Aberdeen game, in wretched form, and we couldn't beat them. Then you go to the bottom of the league, you think it's a gimme, and we can't even get a result. We barely look like scoring.
There's no excuses. It's not COVID. It's not having certain types of player. I Celtic have had a couple of injuries here and there, but in the main, they should be more comfortable against the likes of Ross County and other teams. Not my words, the words of Neil Lennon. That's what Neil Lennon said after the game. And do you know what? That's the most right he's been all season. There is no excuses. And there's really no point talking about mitigating circumstances and things behind the scenes that may have, that may or may not have influenced the season. There was talk earlier in the week about how Neil Lennon was actually one of the dissenting voices when it came to keeping players that potentially wanted to leave, and this is one of the things that's been rumoured to disrupt in the season. But losing the league, going out of Europe at the stage we went out of it, the performance in the Europa League, and pick any one of two or three league results, including last night, is enough to be questioning the manager at the end of the season. Forget everything else. Forget everything else. Europe, yeah. Sparta, but see, after some of the results we'd be seeing, like, you could pick the games in isolation. You don't have to go, well, the whole season was contaminated by mitigating circumstances I'm not allowed to talk about. You can say, but you were pish against Ferencvaros. Those two Sparta defeats were embarrassing. And then losing to Ross County twice is embarrassing. Your job would be on the line today, regardless of everything else. And, you know, I suppose there's a question about, you know, if you lose the league, would any Celtic manager survive losing this league? And I think there are circumstances to which the answer is yes. There's definite circumstances. You know, if it was unlucky, if we were close, if a couple of bad results, or if Rangers just got the better of us in a few games, then the answer would be yes, you could survive the league. But the way this season has unfolded, there's been nothing short of embarrassing. And it's gotten to the point now where even I don't have time for any of the mitigating circumstances talk, because you've had enough time to work that out, and we were on the road. The manager kind of keep this plate spinning. It is the manager's fault 100%.
Yeah, the mitigating circumstances stuff, yeah, we've been talking quite a lot about this as well, and it's like, to paraphrase Tony Hales, the BBC guy from Alan Partridge, I've listened to your excuses, I've listened to them all, and I didn't like a single one of them. So see the mitigating circumstances thing. See if something absolutely terrible has gone on behind the scenes that has completely derailed this season, then I would never dream of being flippant about that. But the truth is, I don't know what it is. They've not told me what it is, so I can't really be overly sensitive about something that may or may not exist. That's crazy. There's a lot of people out there saying, oh, but see, if you knew, you would change your tone. Well, why don't you tell us what it is then, and we'll be wholly understanding of that. But the truth is, I can't imagine a single thing, unless it's absolutely stop you in your tracks, shocking, that would have derailed the season to this level. I'm not really buying the board forced me to keep the players thing, because if that was the case, then why have we heard Neil Lennon just bending over backwards to back the board all season? Yeah. That, if he was truly in the belief that the board have pulled the rug out from him and cost him the chance to be the 10 in a row winning manager, why haven't we heard about it? Quite the opposite. We've heard about how this club is brilliantly run. Mr. Lawwell, Peter's brilliant. Mr. Desmond, they're so great. Those two things can't possibly exist at the same time. They can't have done him dirty like that and for him to be constantly publicly backing him. Because see, if the thing is, it's almost the same as Rodgers as well. If he came out and slated the board, we would be on his side. We would understand that. He's got nothing to lose. The board aren't going to sack him for coming out and publicly saying that, well, you know, these decisions went against me. These decisions went against me, and this is what's cost us the league. I'm only speculating, of course, but that's basically all that's been alluded to, is the fact that we kept players against their will. And I refuse to believe that that could possibly derail the season to this level, because we've relied time and again on these players all season. Edward, Christie, Ayer, all these guys, that they've been the main players.
Neil Lennon, for me, talked himself out of a job last night with some of his comments. Yeah. When they were talking about defending the set piece, he says, I can't do it for them. It wasn't a problem for us last season, but it's been a real problem for us this season with more or less the same personnel. You have to go and head the ball. You have to block runners. I don't see us getting any free headers in the opposition box, but you've seen it plenty of times for us. It's not good enough. We were zonal, and Laxalt's got a job to do in the block, but it's just too easy. There were plenty of bodies in there. Ayer was there. Scott Brown was there. We've got enough good players around to stop it, and we haven't. It's not good. Right, okay. What you said there is correct. Players have to do their job on the pitch. The players aren't playing for you, Neil. That's what you've just said there. You've just said that. It wasn't a problem last season. It's a real problem this season with the same players. Players aren't playing for you. It's that simple. And any director would be listening to that going, right, so he's getting the foundations of the job correct. He's given them all a job to do. He's admitting himself, this should work. We're zonal, we're telling them where to be, we're telling them what position to be in, but they're just not carrying out the instructions on the pitch. That's why you sack a manager. Yeah. It couldn't be clearer. And that, with that statement there, Neil Lennon, for me, has talked himself out of a job. So why there's any discussion that Neil Lennon should be still in the Celtic job next season is beyond me, because he publicly admitted there that the players aren't playing for him, and it wasn't the first time this season.
And now comes the chat about the rebuild that he denied needed done about a week ago. He said there isn't going to be any major overhaul because, you know, not as many players will leave as you think and all that. And now, after the Ross County game, yes, we definitely need a massive rebuild, and I'm the man to do that. So, can I just shock you? We do need a massive rebuild, despite what I said earlier. I think that's twice I've now quoted the same scene in Alan Partridge in little under 20 minutes.
We do get a lot of mileage out of that. And one of the big questions, Stephen, on that rebuild is who's going to replace Odson Edward? Who's going to replace Christopher Ayer? Because these are both very important and very expensive and very good players in our team. And that brings me on to our Patreon. We are launching a 20 Minute Tim's YouTube channel, and we are handing control of this YouTube channel over to our patrons. If you're a patron of 20 Minute Tim's, as well as all the great podcasts and video content we already do, you get to choose the direction of our YouTube channel. We will put the vote to you and you decide what video we make. And if you're a patron, you get to view it first. It's a brand new feature that we're working on for 20 Minute Tim's Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/20MinuteTim's. And also, there's a massive project on the horizon on 20 Minute Tim's Patreon. I'm not going to say any more, but there is a massive rebuilding project on the horizon. I suppose if that was Neil Lennon giving that pitch, though, you would say, oh, maybe there isn't a massive rebuilding project on the horizon, or maybe there isn't, or there is. I think Neil Lennon's post, it's getting to the point now where I was somewhat sympathetic, or tried to be, to Neil Lennon's cause. But now is post-match, I'm on the same boat as everyone else. His post-match stuff just doesn't make any sense to me anymore. I'm not really sure what, if anything, he could say, though, that wouldn't annoy people. You know, it's he's putting his hands up, he's apologising, he's doing all he can, really, post-match. But it's got to the point now where he needs to do his talking on the pitch. That's the only place that he can do it. And what we're facing here is the prospect of Rangers stopping the 10, winning the league at Parkhead, which is unthinkable. It's unthinkable.
Or potentially we need to give them a guard of honour, which he's already talked us into doing with his chat.
Honestly,
a couple of seasons ago.
Stick your guard on up your ass. Stick your guard on up your ass. They didn't date for us, and let's not make an issue out of it. They can ram it, to be honest. I don't want to see a guard of honour for that lot. They wouldn't date for us. We're not doing it for them. It's a stupid thing anyway.
Just see with Rangers, if they manage to win the league at Celtic Park, that would be catastrophic. That would be extinction level events for Celtic. And see
the
for
extinction
us fans,
level events coming anyway, mate. They all need to go. I know what you're saying, but the asteroid has entered Earth's atmosphere. It's just not made contact yet.
Well, as fans, that would be, it'd be horrible to watch. The fans don't deserve that after sitting at home all season watching this nonsense, having to listen to all this. So this is nothing to do with the fans. But see if Rangers win the league at Celtic Park, that's exactly what Neil Lennon and Peter Law and the board deserve. They deserve to sit and watch that, because this is Neil Lennon's decision-making has cost us, and the board's lack of decision-making has cost us. This is where we are now. We have two games against them left in the league, and they could potentially seal the league before that because of Celtic's ineptitude. It's an unbelievable way to go about it. And Neil Lennon, as you're talking about the post-match thing, what can he say? We can come out after the Ross County game and not tell me that we dominated the game. It's a head-scratcher. He can't believe we've lost it. Neil, I can remember Ryan Christie skying one from 6 yards, Odson Edward missing a chance. But what else did we have? Yes, we have plenty of shots, but none of them are clear-cut chances that you thought we should have scored that one. What about that one? Or we that cleared off the line? We never have teams on the ropes. We never have teams just ready to collapse because we're pressuring them so much. There's nothing to this team, absolutely nothing. And this is why Stephen's mentioned it before. This is what happens when you just keep a guy on that's not doing anything about it.
This team look as if they want to get through these games and get off the football pitch as quick as possible to me. That's what this team looked like at the moment. But let's focus in on the Ross County game a wee bit. Celtic were pretty wasteful in the Ross County game. We had 20 shots, as you say, Melly, 4 on target. That's the same as Ross County had 4 on target of their 6 shots. So we obviously had a bit of trouble capitalising there. One player that's dramatically out of form for me is Ryan Christie. On the live preview show, which is we bring you the build-up on patreon.com, we bring you the pre-game build-up. We were saying on that match, Stephen, Melly, that we were questioning Ryan Christie's inclusion by playing two up front, by playing Ryan Christie in that position up front with Odson Edward, and you've got three strikers on the bench, seemed... Melly's laughing, and that's what it is. It's mystifying, and it's these... Yeah. Once again, I find myself directing the Celtic PR department on what to do, right? Neil Lennon has to come out and talk tactics. We deserve that. We need to understand why these selections are being made. We need to understand why you come out after a game and talk about how you struggled to score goals, yet you started that game with three strikers on the bench and played Ryan Christie, who's in terrible form at the moment, up front beside Odson Edward Melly.
It's a strange one. He came on the other week and he got a goal and an assist, but he's not a striker. He's not a striker. You've got three guys on the bench. You've got Albin Ayeti, who you paid big, big money for, who Neil Lennon said he tried to sign him the year before and we couldn't get him. And then instead of loaning him, Neil Lennon said we wanted to make it permanent. So this is your guy. With Klamala, who we signed last January, again, Neil Lennon signing, it's under his guise. Where are we going here? Because if you're going to play 3-5-2 or 4-4-2 diamond, why are we shoehorning guys in just because he thinks they're good players, get the technicians in again? Because it's not working out. Again, in the Ross County game, we never stretched them once. There was nobody going on beyond their defenders to try and cause some runs in behind, which means everybody just drops deep and then you've got a big cluster in the middle. And it's easier for teams like Ross County to defend because that's what they want. They want to defend on the edge of their box. They want you to just put in crosses. They'll defend that all day. And at the end of the day, Celtic are just trying to make these passes through the eye of a needle. They're going to come unstuck because they've nobody out wide to get the ball in. So it's all just going to get congested through the middle. And see, if you're going to play Ryan Christie, that's fine. But play him as a midfielder where he's going to be that guy who's making the runs from deep. That's what we needed. We don't need Tom Rogic standing there. He's not a guy like that who's going to make runs from deep. David Turnbull, as good as he is in number 10, he's not going to make runs from deep. So we need somebody breaking into the box like Petrov in the past, like Stuart Armstrong. But we don't have MD. It's all too static.
Turnbull can do that, but I think he's a bit stifled in this formation. I just don't understand the inclusion of Rogic, Stephen. The Christie thing, I know he got a goal and assist the other week, as Melly was saying, but overall his contribution this season has been really poor. He's been way, way off where he was. And the problem Neil Lennon has is we as fans, before the game starts, you look at that and go, Ryan Christie up front, we had what? Three strikers on the bench. Then after the game, we struggle to score and he says, oh, we're wasteful in front of goal. And then you've got Ryan Christie missing for... How many yards was that out?
Five or something. To try to take the skin off the ball as well. Just make sure of that, man. Why are you absolutely putting the laces through that when you're a couple of yards out? Absolutely unbelievable.
Their heads are elsewhere. And Ryan Christie's the number one culprit for me. I think he's firmly in the camp of guys that are going through the motions, Stephen.
He's really starting to do people's heads in now. I can feel the tide well and truly turning on Christie's popularity, and it didn't really have to be this way. He was obviously a cracking player, but a combination of things, one not least of which is the fact that he's been kind of openly talking about wanting a new challenge and all that, which he's perfectly entitled to do, but people aren't going to like to hear it, you know, especially as part of this historic season. Need I remind anyone that we were currently going through? Added to that is the fact that there is just complete lack of any kind of tactical or positional or just really any discipline of any kind. Ryan Christie just doesn't have it.
He's just out there doing his own thing, isn't he?
Yes, freestyling. That's exactly what he's doing. And it's very, very frustrating to watch. Yes, when it works for Ryan Christie, he's an absolute joy. He's two telling contributions in both of Edward's goals a couple of games ago as well as the goal and assist against St Mirren. That would have been brilliant. But the rest of the time, he's a very frustrating player because they're shooting from everywhere. And I'm now more sympathetic to Neil Lennon's place in this as well, because I used to think that Neil Lennon's out there just telling him to shoot whenever he gets the ball. But even Lennon's fed up with it. Even he's fed up with the level of wastefulness that comes from Ryan Christie's left boot. So where I don't sympathise with Lennon is that it keeps picking the guy. So that's where the sympathy runs out. Just as a wee sidebar to this Ryan Christie thing, see if James Forrest was fit, and we've kind of been told that there's a setback on that, so he might not be fit for another couple of weeks or whatever. But even if he was fit just now, what the hell would Celtic play? What formation would they put together? I can't picture it, because what we would
He'd
find
be right
is,
wing back.
James, they'd probably go to a maybe a 4-2-3-1, but what we would end up with is Forrest on the right and Christie on the left, or some mental like that. Turnbull, and then we would end up with Brown and McGregor in central midfield. Two fullbacks who don't get me started on these these guys, honest to God. John Joe Kenny, and I realise that I've just gone down a rant here, but John Joe Kenny. But just when we're talking about the structure of the team here, we've got several formations, and none of them work because we're getting nothing for fullback whatsoever.
No.
Absolutely nothing. Greg Taylor's an all right player, right? He's absolutely fine. But John Joe Kenny is just a mental signing, to be honest. He's just a guy who must have just become available, so we've not even thought twice about it. Just sign him. Just bring him in on loan.
We've all played football manager. Suited. We're desperate for a right back. We go to the free transfer, the loan market. There's a guy that can play right back. Let's take him. That's probably what happened there.
I don't think he's a bad player, and I don't envy anyone coming into this disaster of a season. But it doesn't suit Celtic's aims. It doesn't suit the objectives. It doesn't suit the style of play at all. They've just taken, yet again, a player who happened to be available. They've heard of him. Plays for Everton. He must be good.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I don't think Ryan Christie's good enough for the Premier League. I don't.
Mm.
I would be interested to see what sort of club picks Ryan Christie up. I know, I mean, he's been at Celtic since 2015, right? So it's that 6 years.
Yeah.
Has he had 1.5 good seasons? 2 good seasons at Celtic? I've certainly seen nothing this season to suggest that Ryan Christie would make any success of a career down south. And he's one of these players that there's been a few of them come out of Scotland, like, what's his position? What is Ryan Christie's position, Melly?
Yeah.
What would you say if you were the manager of Southampton, say, because that's where Stuart Armstrong went, what position does Ryan Christie play? He's not a left winger, he's no right winger, he's not a striker. He's kind of like one of these players that sort of plays across the front three, but he's not really got one nailed in position. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. I think he likes to think he's a number 10, but for me personally, I think he'd be best in the number 8 with, say, we've played three in midfield with one sitting in front of the defence, then two ahead of that. I think he'd be good in the number 8 there, but he's not got the guile to play number 10. And if he's going down south, I don't really see many teams that he would maybe get that would play a number 10. So he's going to need to play in central midfield. And as Stephen said, his discipline, like, positionally isn't up to it for that. Look, he is a good player. He got, 15 goals last season, maybe about the same the season before. He came in and just took off like a train, but he's dipped down and
took off like a train, Stephen. Melly couldn't think of one vehicle that takes off. Could have had a racing car, could have had a helicopter, could have had an aeroplane or a jet, but Melly went for the only vehicle I can think of, apart from a boat that doesn't take off.
Anyway, stop trying to derail my train here. My train of thought.
Stop trying to derail my boat here.
Aye, you're derailing my boat. Right, Melly, sorry, carry on.
But with Ryan Christie, I don't see where he's going. I think at number eight, long-term, will be his position, but he needs somebody to tell him what to do. And he's a Scottish international, he's a good player, but I just don't think he's up to the standard of Stuart Armstrong, and it took him a while to go down there and adapt. But I'm really disappointed in you guys. You're on here slating Ryan Christie, so am I. It's his bloody birthday today. Happy birthday, Ryan.
Oh, it's Ryan's birthday, it's Karamoka Dembele's birthday.
Birthday FC were loving it today, weren't they? Dishing out all the happy birthdays on Instagram.
Mind you.
It was Instagram. That's what they did. It was Instagram. There was no Twitter happy birthdays today. Stephen, I don't know if you noticed that. There was no Twitter happy birthdays for Celtic players, because obviously we know what happens every time Celtic tweet anything. So Celtic conceded their, let me just check the stats here, look, I've got the stats open there, 1 millionth goal this season from set pieces. And as we touched on earlier on, Neil Lennon says it's down to the players, they have to head the ball. Laxalt, we were teamed up zonally and Laxalt had work to do there.
Yeah, again, it was more from Neil Lennon that post-match, it was all they. Mm. Most managers would say we wouldn't they, or we'll do this, we'll work harder, but again, it's just flinging the players under the bus. But again, yes, it is Zono and all that, and Laxalt should have done much better. It was absolutely pathetic defending from him. But again, where's the structure in this? Because that is their tallest player, the biggest player on the pitch, had a free header. Yes, you can go zonally, you can have people go man for man, but within that zone, there should be people saying, look, he's the big danger, we need to switch something about here. But there's nobody taking responsibility, they're not set up properly. And you felt as soon as Ross County got that free kick, it was just that point in the match where you're thinking, this match is dreadful, the next goal, if there is going to be one, we'll win. And as soon as they got that free kick, it just felt inevitable after that. And as soon as it goes in, their biggest man heads it. Yeah, Celtic aren't going to win this game now. They're not going to come back and win this.
And that's the worry, isn't it, Stephen? When a goal goes in, even against Ross County, and the same happened against Hearts in the cup final, I had the feeling, like, if they score, it's game on. Like, when Ross County scored yesterday, you had no faith that Celtic were going to get back in it.
No, I've seen it so many times this season, but I've seen that this team just go to pieces. And right, the fact that, I mean, Neil Lennon's now out there saying that players are scared to get hurt, or they're scared to head the ball, they don't want to head the ball, or whatever it is he's saying now. I get it. Players, ultimately, whatever the structure is, sometimes a ball comes into the box and you need to deal with it, right? I get that from Neil Lennon's point of view. But at the risk of repeating myself, this is what happens when the players have chucked it over the course of months.
This is exactly it. It's like everything he's saying now is the players are now playing for him. And it's the most most obvious thing in the world that he's talking himself out of a job now. If you're a manager in any line of work, right? Or any line of work, if you're a manager in a pick something shoe shop and your boss comes down and goes, you've sold no shoes this week, what's happening with your team? And you go, I keep telling the team they need to sell more shoes, but they're not listening to me. The first person that goes, you. That's how it works. In every line of management, in every line of work. So Neil Lennon's out here saying, the players are not heading the ball. Right, well, they're physically able to head the ball. They're just not doing it for you. And it's just us going through the motions again, isn't it?
Oh, that's exactly the phrase I would use, going through the motions. And again, this is what happens. This is what happens if you just throw out everything you know about football. I appreciate there's no formula to it. I realise there's no law to it that you can follow. There's no book you can look up and say, well, actually, after 18 games, if a manager's not doing it, you need to get rid of him. Oh, but what about the 19th? I appreciate that there's no good time to get rid of a manager. Mm. But sometimes it's just over. Sometimes it's just finished and you need to act. And what I said last week was that the burden on you, the people failing to make decisions, is to prove that you are right to do this, rather than the other way around when it demonstrably got worse. It's got worse and worse and worse month on month since you decided to stick with the manager, and they're still doubling down on it. They're still saying, no, we can't make hasty decisions and all that. But what we're left with is a load of people just having lost interest. The fans, I feel like it's now gone from days and days of anger to nothing new. It's just apathy. It's just, well, you're angry at the time, you're angry immediately after the game, then you get up the next day and you're like, well, okay, I saw that coming. Just,
you can't believe what you're watching with some of these games. Yeah. Like yesterday, you just can't believe what you're watching. You're like, this is the most peculiar thing I've ever seen. This is, how bad are the Celtic team in terms of the stuff you've seen in your lives? How bad are they?
Oh, they're up there with the worst. At least Mowbray's team had a bit about them where they just conceded loads of goals, but they scored goals. They had Robbie Keane the second half of the season. You'd something you thought, oh, maybe we've always got Keane, we've always got a chance. Where this Celtic team, I'm like, they're not even free scoring. Maybe if we were winning 4-3, but unless David Turnbull or Rodson Edward turn up, Celtic simply don't win games. And it's bringing everybody else down as well around them. It's just, it's going on and on, like Stephen said. And I don't see an end point, because I don't see how we won 5 games in a row. We might go and win another 2. And then as soon as we play a decent team, we'll draw or get beat. That's how it's going to go. As soon as we come up against MD with any substance, we'll draw or get beat.
I said after the Aberdeen game, I think it was just in the kind of various group chats that we populate, I said after the Aberdeen game that this is the most crushingly boring Celtic team I can remember. Teeth-gratingly boring. And what I said, I can't be accused of just reacting to just the Ross County game, but which we clearly lost. I said when we did our preview show, our live preview show on patreon.com/20minutesims, we're doing a live preview before the Ross County game, that I said that in this run of games that we're all expected to believe is like a jaw-dropping achievement, we've run a string of games against poor opposition, right? Don't get me wrong, wins are wins, right? But what I said that after the Aberdeen game was that I've never been more convinced that this is over. Having watched that, the manner of that win against Aberdeen, I've never been more convinced, because you look at everything that Lennon was supposed to be, everything, the ball of energy, the, you know, quick, fast moving, everyday bombing forward and getting out wide and getting in the box and scoring goals, like 5 and 6 goals, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. It's dead in the water, and we're still just persevering with it, just keeping the head down, hoping that this season, I'm not talking about the fans, I'm talking about the board, just hopefully hoping that the season finishes without any major incident. And they can't manage it. All they had to do with 9 games to go is just try and get through the 9 games without suffering any major embarrassments. That's how low the bar was, and they failed to clear it. They just ran up and tripped over the bar. It's honestly unbelievable.
It's went from Lenny Ball to Lenny Boz, hasn't it?
Oh, dear. Oh, my God.
There it is.
So good. One a week. That's what you're guaranteed. Box look, Celtic ticked. Might be... You think Celtic are shite? Listen to Melly's gags. That'll...
You're lucky I didn't do one earlier. I had one there, but I thought, no, I'll leave it. I'll tell you after what it is. It was an absolute
beezer. My God.
Can I say something, though? See, now that Neil Lennon has apologised, do you feel any better? Do you feel any better about the situation? Because I kind of feel like I've been given petrol station flowers, to be perfectly honest. I feel like Neil Lennon was on his way home from work, and he stopped in a petrol station and brought me home a bunch of damp flowers and a Twix. But it was like 2 for £1, and he ate the double decker in the forecourt. That's kind of how I feel with that apology, to be honest.
Do you know what? It's worse than that, right? It's that apology was Neil Lennon running out of things to say. That's what that was. That was Neil Lennon running. That was a Hail Mary. You know, that was an absolute Hail Mary. We've got 2 games. We've got Aberdeen at home and Dundee United away before we play Rangers at Celtic Park. The only thing left for this season, and this is really, really pitiful, right? The only thing Celtic can achieve this season for me is no let them win the league at Celtic Park. And in doing so, not allowing them to be invincible. That's the only thing. That's the only thing we can achieve this season, isn't it?
That's the real quiz.
I'm choking for the Scottish Cup not to start up, so we don't need to play it. So
I don't think the Scottish... I don't see the Scottish Cup starting up. I would just shelve the Scottish Cup. It's not a competition that concerns us anyway, because we're certainly not going to win it. But, Stephen, that's the goal, isn't it? The only goal... This is how bad it is. Jesus, man. We've gone from winning everything, to the only thing on offer for us this season is beating Rangers once.
Spoilers.
It's all we ask for, in those famous words. It's all we ask for. If Neil Lennon stood at the front of Celtic Park and went, this season... we're going to beat Rangers once, and that's it. That's all we ask for.
Aye, we can also try and stop them whitewashing us as well. There's a very real possibility of that, because you know, we had a DVD about that once years ago. It's grim how far we done fell. We said this months ago, is that if the plan is that we hope for Rangers to just derail themselves, to just like just shit themselves and inexplicably stop playing, then that's no plan at all. And it turns out we didn't have any plan at all because, no, that didn't happen and we had no contingency for it whatsoever. It is an unmitigated disaster. There's no denying that whatsoever. The only thing that the board could possibly do to help with this, I'm sorry to say it, but it's to sack Lennon. I don't want to hear any more of this, the end of the season stuff. You need to start making changes just now. For this to just soldier on, just limp on aimlessly, getting worse and worse and worse and making more absurd statements that from week to week, talking about how it's the media I've got it in for them. That came out again a couple of days ago as well. The media are trying to make it about themselves. They're being aggressive in interviews and all. I'm like, look, the only reason he thinks this is because he's not getting it all his own way. He thinks the media are there. They're just a tool for the club to use to fluff everyone's ego and get some stock answers out of them. That's not the case at all. The media would not be doing their job if they just ignored the massive elephant in the room that is Neil Lennon keeping his job against all odds, despite the woeful performance, the woeful managerial performance. He said the other day that he doesn't see why it wouldn't be him to undertake the rebuild because...
Jesus, well, I know.
Apart from the
shocking
performance, I realise that people will say, and I think that Billy Dodds or whatever said it on SportsCenter, like, what's the sense in getting rid of Neil Lennon just now? Because every day he's in that job, it gets worse. The damage could be irreparable by the time we get a new manager in next season because he's coming in to do God knows what with the squad and probably go through qualification for the Champions League, which we'll probably not get through anyway because it's getting harder and harder with that runner-up route thing. So
he is the lamest of lame ducks. He's the lamest of lame duck managers, Neil Lennon, at the moment. And these players want to get on that pitch and off that pitch as soon as possible. And I would be amazed if we bounced back from this, Ross County. I would be amazed if we bounced back for this. We were building momentum and that's another defeat. Now, I suspect that's taking the air out of the balloon. I really do.
It probably has. I don't know what they've got left because what's they going to do? Because there's no big tactical change going to come because we've tried everything that way. James Forrest isn't going to be back anytime soon. So we need to win our next three games to stop Rangers winning the league at our home ground. Even if we win our next two and we go into the Rangers game, have you any faith whatsoever Neil Lennon can set up a team to beat Rangers? Because we've barely had a shot against them this season, never mind got a point against them. We can't even afford to draw against them. We need to beat them.
We're not going to win our next two games anyway. We're not going to win the next two games. I don't think we'll beat... Against Aberdeen, they get away to Dundee United. I'd see us dropping points in those games as well, to be perfectly honest with you.
Do you know what? We joked in the preview show, again, the previously mentioned preview show we did for the Ross County game, we joked that Ross County might have a better record against the top six than Celtic do recently. They do. They actually do. They've beaten Celtic twice, they've beaten Hibs, and they've beaten Aberdeen. In the last 3 or 4 months, Celtic have beaten Aberdeen a couple of times. They beat them in the Cup and they beat them in the league. And they beat St Mirren, who are in the top six by 1 point. Ross County do have a better record against the top six recently than Celtic do. The reason I say that is because we have the split coming up. So we have to play against all of the top six. And I just don't see it going well. The only way we can salvage something from this is to let the fans know that change is coming, because they're not even doing that. They're not even doing the changes coming at the end of the season. They're letting Neil Lennon go out there and talk about how he is the guy to do the rebuild. Your plans are in place. He's the next three, four seasons.
No, he just needs to stop that. Do you know what I mean? Where's the PR here? Why are you baiting fans? People are pissed off. Yeah. People are talking about no buying season tickets. People are not just pissed off at this. Isn't spoiled Celtic fans pissed off at losing 10 in a row? This is, you know, fully paid up, heavily invested Celtic fans pissed off at the disaster and catastrophe fuck that this season has been. And don't try and tell us otherwise. Don't turn around and go, oh God, we won the league 9 times in a row. Right, be under no illusion, Celtic fans, not everybody, but if we'd put up some sort of fight for this league and heroically lost it in the last day, we'd be gutted, but we could accept that, you know, it is feasible that you might lose a league. What we're witnessing this season is paltry in terms of effort and application for the players and for the manager. So don't even think for a minute that Neil Lennon's going to be Celtic manager next season. Don't even think, and don't come out and talk. Neil Lennon's not allowed to talk about next season. He's going to come out and he needs to talk tactics, game approach, and that's it. That's all you're there to talk about. Everything needs to be by the book. No for Neil Lennon. That's all I want to hear from the Celtic manager. What's happening next week? What's happening? I want to hear injury updates, player updates, tactical stuff, the game approach, and then after the game, he doesn't really have to say much if we've lost it. But what I also do want is, after the Rangers game, if Rangers win the league, I want him to resign. After the game. The league's done. The minute this league is done, the minute the full-time whistle goes and this title's handed to Rangers, I want Neil Lennon to resign.
Always come off it our way of thinking, Steve. You know. He's on board. He's on the train.
Budge up, Melly.
I know. Well, look, I was always... There was no way Neil Lennon was going to be the Celtic manager next season anyway. But it's just enough is enough. And you can't... And stop baiting the fans. This is a lot of crap we're listening to for the Celtic manager after these games. And I've tried. I really have tried. Everybody that's listened to this podcast and you guys are joking. I've tried to be fair. It's unbelievable what we're watching here.
There's another problem that you've maybe kind of stumbled across there, Jamie, as well, that Neil Lennon is now out there.
Our pet's heads are falling off.
He's now out there acting like he doesn't understand what this season was supposed to be, right? He's out there saying, oh, I don't know, look, we've won 9 titles in a row, 4 trebles, but you've only been here for 18 months of that, in the latter half of it. But he's now out there basically kind of pretending that 10 in a row didn't exist and that the club weren't marketing that to us at the start of the season, when, I'm sorry, but his sole qualification for being back in that job was that he did understand it, was that he totally got it. He was the guy who understood the pressures of it, all that.
Aye, for a player.
Yes, all this.
All pish.
Pish. To quote his pal Tommy Sheridan, bash. So
Tommy's not made a video for a while.
No, he hasn't.
Need to get Tommy up on the 20 Minute Tim's YouTube channel. The production values in his videos are actually quite good. I wonder who's director of photography is. The lighting is absolutely sensational. The Albanian president, he can get to fucking all. He only keeps me on winning. I know he's busy.
I know he's
running a country and I know he's got things to do, but you know, don't want to see him next season. He can go. Neil Lennon can go. Tommy Sheridan can go. Who else? Coolio can go. Don't want to see Coolio. Martin Compston, he can stay. Martin Compston can stay.
Keep him.
Any other celebrity fans that have been tweeting support for the manager recently? Rod Stewart, he can go. He can go. Peter Lowell's
obviously
Boyle
go. Out
Susan Boyle can go out. Anybody else? All those Twitter accounts that were backing the manager, they can go. Just clear the lot out. That's what I want. I just want the lot of them gone, and I never want to see them at Celtic Park again.
Yeah.
And on that bombshell, right? On that bombshell. By the way, do you know what I'm looking forward to? Looking forward to the end of season review where we get to review our bold predictions. I think Jamie Boy might have been super sexy on his big predictions. Do you remember them, lads?
I remember a couple of mine, I think, but probably best mine? Just leaving it for when the envelope is opened.
I think I might get all three right again. So instead of what we're going to do here is regular listeners know that if you leave us a 5-star review on Podcast Addict or on iTunes, and you leave us the way to contact yourself by your social media handle, we will pick our favourite 5-star review and send you a solid gold 20 Minute Tim's badge. And Stephen, you've picked a winner this week.
Well, we didn't do one last week because we had to digest that statement. So I think I'll do two this week. Okay. So thank you very much to
Moneybags.
This first one. I know. We're feeling generous. There's got to be some positive come of this. Sean PR67 left us a review that said, fantastic, but bitterly disappointing lately. Been fantastic covering 9 in a row and a historic quadruple treble. Now they sound like they don't want to be here. There's no justification for me to unsubscribe. None whatsoever. If things start to deteriorate rapidly, I'll hold my hands up and say, this isn't working. We need to look at something else. But at the moment, we're nowhere near that. Niall Lemon. So yes, that's one winner. And another one from Leal de Lisboa, which is basically, you're still thinking about the bad news. In this age of no good news for Celtic, with only bad news and irrelevant news to deal with, these lads steadfastly take it on and tackle everything like sorrow with a big smile on their faces. The best balance of insight and humour I've heard on a Celtic pod. Well done, guys. You know there are only 7 people on the board, and that's from Leal de Lisboa. Yes. So thanks, folks.
Thank you very much for that. Guys, as we're talking about, check out patreon.com/20minutetims. This season might be going pretty poorly, but the coverage keeps on going. Plenty of podcasts, plenty of video over there. As we said, we're launching a new YouTube channel. If you want to get involved in that, subscribe to us on YouTube at 20 Minute Tims, but also get involved in helping us decide the direction of that channel on Patreon. And also, big things coming on Patreon. We're working on a big project for the end of the season. Melly, would you like to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
Stephen, would you like to say au revoir?
Au revoir. Thank you, folks. Yes. I'll see you next week.
And it's goodbye from me. Thank you for listening.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.